here. I think I definitely found something weird that I do. So I was out of town this past weekend up in Ohio, Hilltop Church of God, got a chance to preach, great time to see everybody up there. Got home, started unpacking like yesterday, like I'm doing all my laundry and everything, and I realized I fold my dirty clothes when I bring them home. I think the main reason I think this is weird is because I think my wife thinks this is weird. Mainly because she just crams everything in, like just stuffs it in there, all of her dirty clothes and stuff, probably in a trash bag of sorts. I just don't do that. I don't think that I want my clothes to be neat. I just want them to fit in the bag, and I feel like they fit better if they're folded. Is it weird that I fold dirty clothes?
Yeah.
I think it is.
No, weird.
All right, y'all, I've been meaning to do this one for a little bit here.
Yeah, I know, it's a little weird. It's a little weird. I get it. I do lots of weird stuff. The only consolation that I have in all of my weird things is that I know that you all are really weird too. Right? I am among family here, right? I mean, think about it. If we're all part of the family of God, right? Amen? Right? That's an easy amen right there, right? For those of you who have children, where did they get their weird stuff, right? I'm just saying. Part of the reason that the Lord has brought us together is because I think we all have some things that we do that's a little weird, right? I do weird stuff. Like, for example, it's just, let me be honest here, I'm not celebrating these things. It's just part of my testimony, right? One of the weird things that I do is I hang up my clothes chronologically. I know, you don't even know what that means. That's how weird it is, right? So when I've worn something, it goes to the right side of my closet. Like when I'm hanging it up, folded clothes, there's a whole nother system and y'all ain't even got time for that. But the clothes I hang up, after I've worn it, it'll go on the right side. So I know that the things on the left side, it's been a while since I've worn it. And so that's where I want to go. By the way, when I picked this suit out this morning, far left side of my closet. Now, some of you will think, well, that's really weird, but I think that's really smart because now I don't have to remember when I wore this suit last, right? I don't need to go back and check, and I've actually done this before. This is a bit, anyway, it's a little sad, but I've actually gone back. One of the benefits of actually, like, having, you know, all of our services, like, you know, on video now is I can go back and see what I wore, like, over the last few weeks. And figure out, like, how long ago has it been since I wore that shirt anyway, right? Hey, I don't need more things to remember. That's all I'm saying. I don't need more things to remember. The way I like to say it is, I've only got so much room on my hard drive, right? Everything else is just a flash drive I'm plugging in here and there, right? So if I can find a system, weird as it might be, to make me not have to remember, I am all about that. And if I can create a system in which all of my clothes fit in the bag to come home with me, not just to go with me on my trip, I realize it's a little weird. I get it. It's a little weird. But I'm all for it. You know, the reality is that I've got lots of weird things that I do. And in fact, we're going to celebrate all my weird stuff over these next four weeks. Y'all don't even know what you're getting into yet. But one of the weirdest things that I do is trust God, right? And so what we're going to do over these next 4 weeks as we march toward Thanksgiving even and even toward our Advent season is we're going to look at, like, what are some of the weird things that we do as believers in Jesus that, like, we don't necessarily think they're weird, but people outside the church, people who aren't followers of Jesus, they probably look at that and think, yeah, that's weird. Like, why would you do that, right? And again, I don't say these things to, like, I'm certainly not saying that these are bad things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do these things, but they do. Sometimes they are a little weird, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, But to those who are being saved is the power of God, right? Paul knew that as people were looking at him, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, he knew people thought it was weird, right? But he also knew that, like this is the power of God itself. Like, this is what our life has to be built on. And so no matter what you might think about it, no matter how weird you might feel it is, like, this is where I have to build my life, right? And so what we're going to do over the next 3 or 4 weeks is look at, what are some weird things we do? We're going to be able to just ask that simple question. Is it weird that I trust God? Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to meet together today. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word, and we are thankful, God, that we get to hear your voice through your word. I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak through me even now, God, that my words would be your words, God, that your message alone would be communicated and received and acted upon. God, may your Holy Spirit just be so active. We thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is already at work. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to say yes to whatever it is you're challenging us with, whatever it is that you're moving us into. Help us to say yes to you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't do this often, but I came across sort of the origin of the word weird, right? I don't do a lot of like, hey, where'd that word come from and that kind of stuff, but I thought it was sort of interesting. It's actually a concept in Anglo-Saxon culture that roughly corresponds to fate or personal destiny. Now, the reason I mention this is because I think this actually applies to who we are as believers in Jesus, right? We need to understand that weird is not something that we need to fear, or is not something that we need to shun or stay away from, but actually weird is according to how it was kind of originally brought up here, is that unique way in which God has called us that is peculiar, that is not what the rest of the world is doing. And so we need to understand that our purpose is found in Jesus Christ, and the world is not going to understand that. They're going to think that is a little weird, right? One of the weird things that I do is as I trust God. One of the ways I trust God that's weird. Let me say it that way. One of the ways that I trust God that's weird is I actually read my Bible every day. Yeah. I know, it's weird, it's crazy. But I actually believe that as I read God's word and as I put his word into my heart and into my life, I believe that his word actually changes me and helps me to, and empowers me, not just helps me, let me clarify that. It doesn't just help me, it empowers me to actually live the life that God has called me to live. It actually empowers me to live according to the word in which I'm reading. And so I actually read my Bible. Well, let me say this. I strive to read my Bible every day. There are some days that it just doesn't happen. Life kind of takes over or whatever. That is the goal of my life. That one of the ways that I trust God in sort of a weird way is I try to read my Bible every single day. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, it says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." I want you to know, like, this is why I don't mind being a little weird when it comes to God's word. Because I want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work that God would have me to do. I want to be ready so that when there's an opportunity where God says, hey, I need you to say something here, I need you to do something here, I need you to walk in this way, I want to make sure that I am equipped and that I am ready, so that I don't have to say to God, well, God, I would, but Well, God, I would, but I don't know enough scripture. Well, God, I would, but I don't really know if your Holy Spirit is with me right now. God, I would, but I don't really know if I'm walking in your salvation. God, I would, but you know what I'm saying? Like so many times we give all these excuses, and I just think I firmly believe that I'm just weird enough to believe. Maybe I should say it like that. I'm weird enough to believe that if I can just get into God's word and allow that word to actually be what directs my life, then He will actually equip me for every good work that He has ordained for me to accomplish. And I don't even have to know what it is. I don't even have to have confidence in myself in that regard. I can have confidence in Christ. I can have confidence in the Word of God, and that will equip me to be ready for every opportunity that He has. I know that's a little weird, but that's just something. Another weird way that I trust Jesus is I actually pray every day, right? I thank God for my food. Like, hear me again. I want to be very careful on what I'm not saying here, right? I pray for my food, but that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, so again, let me be clear that you don't hear your pastor saying don't thank God for your food, right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm talking about is like I actually, and one of the things that I've done to help me just mentally is I actually get on my knees on my couch, not on my couch, like next to my couch. Let me say it that way, because that would be weird. I just got a visual for what that would look like. That would be weird. But next to my couch. And I actually get on my knees because I found that I pray differently when I'm in that physical stance of humility. Like, it's just, I know it's a little weird. Like, some of you might think, well, why do you have to do that? You don't have to do that. I'm just telling you that for me, that's just one of the weird things that I do. Like, I actually get on my knees and I pray every day. And I pray for you. I pray for y'all this morning, by the way. And I really believe that God hears those prayers, and I really believe that God responds to my faith, and I really believe that your lives are impacted in that act of prayer that I am doing each and every day, right? Hey, by the way, just as a side note, I also recognize that some of you are weird enough to pray, like, every day. I also recognize some of you are weird enough to pray for me on a regular basis, whether that's every day or not. And I recognize as well, I recognize, like, that was a little hearty of an amen there, Kathy. That's all I'm saying. Like, it just seemed like you were saying something extra there when you were, like, amening so loud. Like, oh, yes, we really need to pray for Pastor. I mean, I appreciate it, but just, I have feelings too. Anyway, you know what I mean? I'm just playing. No, but the point I'm getting at, it really is a point here, I promise, is I also recognize that your prayer, like, I'm weird enough to believe that your prayers actually, like, impact my life. I really do believe that. I want you to know, when I stand up here and preach before you, I recognize that I'm not up here of my own accord. I am here not only in the power of God, but I'm standing on the faith that you have expressed to God as you are interceding on my behalf. And I'm just weird enough to believe that your prayers actually impact my life. And so I acknowledge that, not just before you, but even before God. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I am just weird enough to believe that God wants to bless his people, to bless his children, to actually provide for them good things according to his will, right? And I I'm weird enough to ask him for those good things and to put my faith in him that he is my source and my provider. In 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." Like, again, I'm just weird enough to believe that as I put my trust in God through prayer and as I voice those things to him according to his will, that he's actually going to make some things happen that otherwise would not have happened. Like, I hope y'all get this today, because you need to understand, like there may be some things that you want to have happen in your life, but that if you aren't weird enough to trust him, to pray for those things and ask for those things, like you may not have those things because you're not asking for those things. I think that's in the book of James somewhere, actually. Like you just need to recognize that there's power in the words that come from your mouth and go to God's ears. Like, when you express that by faith, not just like going through the motions of what a prayer should probably look like or whatever like that, but when you express your prayer to God by faith, like, I just want you to know, not only if you do that, not only are you weird enough to offer that to him, but God is weird enough to answer.
Hallelujah.
Like, y'all need to recognize, like, it's weird. God's weird. Yeah, like, seriously, think about this. He is the creator of the universe. Why does he have to do anything for us? What? How weird is it that, like, we have turned our backs on him over and over and over again, and he still loves us? Like, that's, you got to be honest, like, that's a little weird, right? Like he gives us an opportunity to change our lives, to have our lives changed by him in order that we might walk by faith, of which, by the way, the faith that we get actually comes from God himself. Like, he is weird enough to give us the faith to walk with him in order that our lives might be changed by him. That's just weird, y'all, but I want you to know, I don't have to understand all the weirdness. I just have to appreciate it. I just have to receive it. I just have to live in it, right? And I'm so thankful that we get to. The weirdest thing that I've ever done in trusting God is having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know, like, if you've been a part of the church for a while, you're just like, "Pastor, stop it. That's not weird." And you know it's not weird. No, it is. Like, if you think about it, like, it's a little, okay, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're gonna look at verses 22 and 23, and we're just gonna kind of break this down a little bit here, because it's a little weird. It's a little weird. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 22, it says that the Jews demand the signs. The Jews demand signs. In other words, and again, I'm gonna go real, real slow through these verses here. Like, not slow enough that we're not ever going to leave, but, like, just stick with me is all I'm saying. Jews demand signs. In other words, they will believe it when they see it. Right? That is, in regard to religion of this day in Judaism, that is normal. That's normal. When I see it, I will... then, and only then, will I believe it. So that's how the Jews thought. The Greeks, now the second part of that is that Greeks look for wisdom. Now, if you're a little confused on the difference between Jews and Greeks, check out the sermon series that we just came out of called You're In, because it was all about the fact that Gentiles, basically people who are not Jewish, get to be in by faith in Jesus as well. But here, Paul is kind of speaking to these two groups, basically those that are not followers of Jesus. Like, here's where their problems are. The Jews, like, they demand a sign, and so when they see it, then they'll believe it. But Greeks, they look for wisdom. In other words, the question they're asking themselves is, what makes sense? What makes sense? And then Paul comes in as he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church, and there in verse 23, He says, we preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. See, Jesus getting crucified was the sign for the Jews. Well, I hope you all catch this today. But the Jews had already made up their minds about who he wasn't. So that couldn't be. Right? I'm going to have to sit here for just a minute because this is really important. So the Jews demanded a sign. They had to see it before they could believe it, right? Jesus, God in the flesh, comes to the earth, which, by the way, they could see. Yet they had already made up their minds that this guy that I see who tells me he's the guy, they'd already made up their minds he can't be the guy because that's not what I had in mind the guy was going to look like. Okay. Yet, him being crucified was the sign. That was the fulfillment of prophecy. That should have been the alarm to all of them. Like, oh my goodness, this is the Lamb of God slain for all of us that we might be forgiven of our sins and made whole. Like, how did we not see this before? That was the sign. But because they didn't want to see it, they didn't see it. Ooh, I hope y'all hear that this morning. Because we got a lot of things that God is sending our way, but it don't look like what we want it to look like. And I'm just telling you right now, like, God is going to send you stuff that looks weird. Like, why in the world would the crucifixion of the Messiah be something to celebrate? Even today, like, we as we receive communion together, we took of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We celebrated the sacrifice there. That's weird. That's weird. Like, you got to step back and acknowledge the fact that that's a little weird, right? It is. It is. How in the world can the death of a man be something to celebrate? Right? But what's awesome is that it is something to celebrate because that is not the end of the story. It's something to celebrate because he didn't stay dead. It's something to celebrate because that sacrifice was necessary in order that we could be forgiven of our sins. It's something to celebrate. And I know it's a little weird to celebrate somebody's death. I know it's a little weird to kind of to celebrate the fact that his body was broken and his blood was shed. But that is what we're doing. But we're not celebrating it because of how hard that was on him. We celebrate it because of the benefits that we receive because of that. We celebrate because he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day in order that we might be able to rise in him as well, right? Now, Jesus getting crucified doesn't make sense to Greeks and Gentiles either, right? It doesn't make sense when you know that our sin has a price, right? I mean, the philosophers of the age and everything here, they're looking at this Jesus guy, like, or even Paul talking about Jesus, who, again, has died on a cross, and they may or may not actually believe, they probably don't believe that he rose from the dead, because that would probably change some things in their lives. But, like, for them, it just doesn't make sense. Like, how if Jesus is such an awesome teacher, how come he got killed for it? Right? And again, you've got to understand this in a Greek mindset as well. Again, where wisdom is so highly sought after and celebrated themselves, like the people who would consider themselves to be Greek philosophers and teachers, and they think they're pretty smart about what they know and don't know, like they would see themselves as good teachers. So if Jesus is such a good teacher that he got killed for it, and they're such a good teacher that they're still alive, then Jesus must not have been that good of a teacher, right? He must not have been so wise after all in their minds. He must not have been so wise because it led to the cross, right? But yet, we understand that the cross was not the end. The cross was part of a larger story. The cross is a part of our story here today. The cross is a part of the wisdom in the cross goes so far beyond just that moment, but it had to happen in order that we might be forgiven, in order that we might be set free, in order that our sin debt might be paid by the blood of someone else, according to the Jewish law that was already established long before us. It doesn't make sense. It's weird. I get it, right? A verse that many of you will probably be very familiar with out of John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And church, I'm just letting you know right now, it doesn't make sense. Why would God do that? Why would God send his Son to die? Surely there's got to be another way. Surely there's got to be some other way. But here's the thing: when you believe it, you'll see it. I know it doesn't make sense according to how the Jews wanted to see the Son, and okay, once I see it, then I'll believe it. No. You just need to understand, like, according to one of the weird ways that God works in our lives is that once we put our faith in him, we will see things we've never seen before. Once we actually walk by faith in him, we will do things we've never done before. Like, once we actually believe that he is God, that Jesus is our Savior, and that he has died to forgive us of our sins, we will see the peace come into our lives. But we're not going to see that peace until we believe in him. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. It's the weirdest thing that I've ever done in my life is to trust God by having a relationship with Jesus. This guy who died on a cross, that I celebrate died on the cross, and rose from the dead, that I've never shaken his hand. I've talked to him quite a bit, and he's changed my life in ways that still blow me away. But we all need to be a little weird like this. We all need to kind of stop long enough to ask ourselves a question like, is it weird that I want to trust God by having a relationship with Jesus too? And I'm gonna just answer that for you. And the answer is yes. It's weird. Like I'm just telling you. Like if you've never become a Christian, if you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins, if you've never acknowledged the fact that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you actually believe and confess that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life, that you can be set free from those sins and that you can be made whole. Like if you've never done that before, then doing that is gonna feel weird. That's just all there is to it. It's just all there is to it. It's gonna feel weird at first. But then you'll begin to see some things that you've never seen before. When you put your faith in him, when you're weird enough to believe God in his word, and you're weird enough to pray to him and acknowledge the fact that you believe that Jesus is your Savior, when you're weird enough to do those things, God is going to be weird enough to show you some things that you've never seen before. Are you ready to embrace your weird today? If you would, stand with me. The reality is, you're already weird. Amen. It's all right. That should have been the loudest one of the day, but that's okay. I'll forgive you. You're already weird. You already do weird stuff. Like I'm going to celebrate all my weird stuff over these next few weeks. But truth be told, we could have all kind of videos on all of you too, right? The question is, what kind of weird are you going to choose? Are you going to have to be in control of how you're different from everybody else? Or are you actually going to trust God and his word? Are you going to actually commit yourself to talking to God, whom you can't see but believe is there? Like, are, Are you, who gets to determine how you get to be weird? That's what I want to know. Because we all are. Are you ready to submit your life to Him and actually acknowledge to God that you need forgiveness from the sin that has been in your life? That you're ready to submit your life to Him totally and completely, that He can be the one who directs you, and that as weird as it might look or as weird as it might sound, you are going to trust God with your life through a relationship with Jesus. As we sing these last couple of songs here, I want to invite you to respond to God. However you might feel led to do that, maybe you want to come to an altar of prayer. Maybe you even want to just go to the prayer room with someone and you can talk and pray there. Maybe you just want to pull someone aside and just right where you are, just pray together that you might submit your life to Him. Maybe today is the day where you say, you know what? I'm tired of being afraid of being weird. I'm just going to embrace it and let God do whatever He wants to do in my life. Pray with me. God, I thank You so much for every way that You call us to be different. Help us, Lord, to say yes to every different thing that You are calling us to now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.